From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 13th day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services should join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, it appears U.S. EPA is looking for more time to consider increasing the ethanol blend rate from 10 to 15%. Washington officials are upbeat about the president's chance of getting a climate change bill passed. And the hard red spring wheat producers have harvested a bumper crop, but it's of really poor quality. Dave Dickey will have all the details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Tuesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day like this. The nearby wheat contract was higher, up 17 cents for the December at $5.11 and a quarter. The March at $5.30 and a quarter, 17 higher. And the May futures at $5.43, up 16 and three quarters. July wheat at $5.55 and a half, 15 and a half cents higher. December corn futures, $3.81 and three quarters, up a half. The March at $3.93 and a quarter, up a quarter. May corn at $4.01 and a quarter, a quarter higher. And July at $4.08 and a quarter, up a half cent. September contract unchanged at $4.13 and three quarters. Soy complex now, November beans at $9.93, down 6. January at $9.95 and three quarters, 4 and a quarter lower. And the March contract at $9.95 and one quarter, down 5 and a quarter. May futures from the soy complex in the bean pit, $9.89 and a half, down 4 and a half. July at $9.86 and a half, down 6 and a half. And the August at $9.84. down 7 cents, November 4 lower at 977, and the November, that was September, now the November for next year at 975 at a quarter, down 3 and 3 quarters. October bean meal, 326.30, up 350, but the December was down a buck at 306.30. October oil at 35.86, down 44 cents. October live cattle at 82.20 unchanged, December at 84.67 and a half. Down 62 and a half, and the October lean hogs at $50.45 finished 32 and a half cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby crude oil futures, a finish at $74.15, 88 cents higher today in the November contract. Ethanol, November there as well, down a penny and 2 tenths at $1.88 and 8 tenths. And the natural gas finished at $4.58 and 4 tenths. Actually, it's still trading, down 2 and 9 tenths for the day. The RBOB gasoline, which is diesel fuel, is 3 cents higher at $1.82 and 9 tenths. Or rather, the RBOB gasoline, which is gasoline, is at 3 cents higher at $1.82 and 9 tenths. Now the heating oil, which is diesel fuel, up 2 and 9 tenths at $1.92 and 3 tenths. And propane futures at 99 cents even, 0.3 cents higher. October ethanol, gold futures at $1,064.20, up $7.50. In the Dow today at 9,869 is just about 17 points lower on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 75.97 is down 0.15 on the afternoon. And the CRB index at 268.05 is 0.91 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says tonight in the far north should become mostly cloudy, elsewhere cloudy, scattered showers. Lows will range from 34 in northeastern Indiana to 48 in the far southern parts of Illinois. And then tomorrow in eastern and southern Indiana, cloudy, some showers, elsewhere mostly cloudy, scattered showers during the morning. Highs tomorrow will range from 45 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in the far south. The extended forecast says cool, occasionally damp weather will continue for the rest of the week, keeping a slow pace for crop maturation and harvesting. Showers are likely across Illinois and Indiana on Thursday. Amounts will be lightest in the north and heaviest to the south. Less than a quarter of an inch will fall in the north, but more than an inch could fall in a few locations to the south. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of this hour.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Tuesday afternoon. We're always joined on this day by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He's with us this afternoon. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
It was another good day in Chicago for a portion of the day, and then things seemed to sell off, at least in the soybean pit. How did things transpire from your point of view?
Well, Todd, as we come into this morning, things were rather strong. We were looking at the dollar being a little bit easier as we started work this morning, the crude oil being higher for the outside markets, looking to give them a little bit of a bounce. But we saw a little bit of profit taking in the overnight trade early, and then that turned around quite rapidly on the beans as we neared the close this morning. We saw, you know, under a little bit of pressure and a little profit taking early this morning. Then we saw the dollar dip a little more, the crude oil go up a little bit, and we saw the wheat market start to take off as we saw fund short covering in the wheat, and that seemed to be the stalwart position out there today. The weather forecasts, of course, come in just a little bit better at noon with a little better chance of things going, and the fact is we've got the combines running over here this afternoon in the bean fields.
Tell me more about the wheat pit. Were you able to discern why there was this bounce in the wheat pit? I saw some information about spring wheat. Actually, we'll hear a bit about that a bit later in the newscast and the quality of the spring wheat, but I'm wondering if there's something else that might be crossing the wires.
It's all in that the funds were very short. The wheat pit, fundamentally, the wheat is very, very negative. We were shown that in the last USDA report. We know that many, many elevators are sitting clear full of wheat down the Mid-South especially. I know the ADM elevator down on the river down there just doesn't care to take any more wheat in right now because all their they have two facilities clear full of wheat. The one wire that was sent to a cash green merchandiser, the email back was fundamentally it's a dog, but the moving averages and the funds are buying. So call an index fund if you want to know where the wheat's going to go to. But
okay.
And I did see a copy of that email. Along the way, basically they pushed above the 50-day moving average, and that generated more short covering from some of the funds.
Okay.
So. It is all the money, chasing money.
Yeah, chasing the money. On the corn, managed to gain a half cent, but soybeans lost 6 cents. I suppose that's because they think they'll be coming into the marketplace if the weather gets a little better and that the yields continue to be awfully good for the soybeans.
Yields continue to be tremendously good. We did hear a few reports of some test plots where the Vista beans had a little more susceptibility to the white mold, and they were set back. But all in all of the bean yields we continue to hear continue to be very, very good. The area that is under a little bit of pressure as to how it will perform after as much moisture has been there is, of course, down in the Mid-South. And, you know, we're seeing the Delta basically just, unfortunately, they're way behind on harvesting because of the wet conditions they've had and continue to have.
And then in corn pit, just a half a cent gain today, but they did trade 381 and three quarters on its finish with a top of 386, a bottom at 374, so something a bit like 12 cents, 12 and a half cents as a trading range for the day. Any opportunity for producers at these levels, in your opinion, to make cash sales?
Well, I think a lot of, you know, of course, we're pretty much sold out to where we'd like to be, but we are saying for those that aren't that these kind of moves are very good. We think that $4 is going to hold the December corn on the top side, and we think right around this $10 mark in the November beans is it's going to offer some resistance. Now, I mean, depending on how the weather develops and what goes on, but all in all, we sort of feel like these are maybe better places to sell. We're looking ahead especially out to the new crop and doing a little bit of selling out around there. You know, in both the new crop corn and beans, just lightly starting 10% out there. So that's what we were looking at today, Todd.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, no, I think we think that as we get a little better weather here, we're going to see a little storminess come in for Wednesday, Thursday, sort of, but we think that we're going to get back in the field and then we'll see some harvest pressure going. So maybe you want to be taking advantage of some of these good moves.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That one happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
If you'd like to hear what Wayne Nelson had to say again, you can always do that on our phone line. The number is 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. The number again, 217-333-3434. We update at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with either the opening or closing numbers and a bit of analysis. The number again, 217-333-3434. You can always go to that phone line if you can't listen to us on the radio, or pick us up off our website at willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, reports out of Washington today suggest the Environmental Protection Agency is looking for a way to gain additional time to consider a petition to increase the ethanol blend for non-flex fuel vehicles from the current 10% maximum up to 15%. Sources say EPA wants to wait until after the Department of Energy completes a series of tests to determine the effects of meeting Tier 2 emission standards on cars and trucks. Those tests are not expected to be completed until next summer. It's not clear how EPA plans to postpone its E15 decision. The statute under which the petition was submitted requires a decision within 270 days of receiving the request. That means EPA is required to respond by December 1st. EPA may decide to issue a decision that would be contingent on the outcome of future tests, thus sidestepping the issue in the short term. Officials in Washington sounded more upbeat on Monday than they have been for weeks in sizing up U.S. President Barack Obama's chances of progress on a climate change bill in Congress this year. U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer predicted the committee she leads would approve a bill before a U.N. climate summit in Copenhagen in December, while the president's energy secretary, Stephen Chu, says he hopes all of Congress would pass a law by then as well. Producers of hard red spring wheat in the upper Midwest have harvested one of the biggest crops in history, but the bin-busting crop is not of high enough quality to pay the bills for many farmers. Cool weather reduced the level of protein in the grain used for bread products. Much of the grain is coming in with less than 14% protein, generally considered the threshold between good quality and poor quality grain. The problem, however, is not likely to have a large impact on consumers. The American Bakers Association acknowledged it is unlikely that low protein levels in this year's spring wheat crop will affect prices. And U.S. agribusiness and trading company Cargill today reported a 65% drop in quarterly profits, hurt by plunging earnings at fertilizer maker Mosaic Company, in which Cargill is the majority shareholder. Cargill, one of the world's largest private corporations, says it earned $525 million in its fiscal first quarter that ended August 31st, compared to $1.49 billion a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Now, up next in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says farmers must actively engage consumers.
My grandparents, father, and I had a direct relationship with agriculture. Today, the average person is two or three generations removed from farming. Communicating with consumers means that Farm Bureau must be active in a wide range of conversations. No longer can we only reach out to the traditional media, such as print and broadcast outlets, to help us tell the story of American agriculture. Farm Bureau is going to where today's consumers hang out, the places where they gather the bits of information they use to set the courses of their lives. I'm not only talking about their food choices, but how they gather information that helps determine their opinions on topics, such as agriculture's relation to the environment and how farmers care for their animals. Farm Bureau needs to engage consumers in a two-way conversation that includes farmers listening to consumers' concerns, as well as sharing our personal stories about the ethics that drive us as caretakers and food producers. Illinois Farm Bureau is getting on the same wavelength with consumers by launching Twitter and Facebook web pages. I encourage all farmers and agriculture professionals to give the Illinois Farm Bureau's Twitter page a look the next time you are online. I hope you will join and share your unique perspectives. You can find Illinois Farm Bureau by going to www.twitter.com and search for Illinois Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau is also inviting members, agricultural peers, and anyone who loves to eat safe, affordable food to connect with the state's largest general farm organization on Facebook. Through Facebook, Illinois Farm Bureau will share updates about programs, events, and member benefits. To find Farm Bureau on Facebook, go to www.facebook.com and search for Illinois Farm Bureau. Telling the story of agriculture is an ongoing mission of the Illinois Farm Bureau, so jumping into the growing realm of social media is the next natural step to complement our more traditional forms of communication with our members and the non-farming public. If agriculture keeps at it and stays on the same wavelength with consumers through direct dialogue, more people will come to understand that farmers care about the same things they do: safe, healthy food produced by dedicated professionals. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-9697.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and we always check in on what's happening with the agricultural energy markets. That happens just once a week. On this week, Stephen Platt joins us, and he'll be here to discuss what's been happening in the world of, well, ethanol and other ag energies. Stephen is with Archer Financial Services. Good afternoon to you, Steve. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's take up first what's been happening in the crude oil. There has been a pretty good rally in that market over the last several weeks. Is it sustainable?
The market has certainly benefited from the weaker dollar and also, I think, the improving economic outlook. You've seen some steady revisions upward in the outlook for next year, which I think is starting to come into the crude oil to a large degree here recently.
You discussed the weaker dollar. How much of an impact does that really have?
Well, it's interesting to note that the crude oil has held back more than the dollar has fallen here recently. And I think a lot of that has to do with the reallocation by some of these ETFs away from the energy complex into other commodity markets. So the crude has actually been a little bit weaker than most other commodity markets that we follow.
And how do you view the ethanol industry at this point?
Well, I think it certainly is getting into much better shape. You'd like to see this harvest progress a lot quicker than what we have, but the market has certainly proven to be a little bit more profitable than what it had been, which is always good for the industrial sector.
For the agricultural energies, what do you think the key things to watch might be?
Well, certainly the demand side and how we start to progress maybe with respect to some of the legislative actions that might be afoot. I don't think they'll make any big changes, but certainly that's a possibility in terms of the mandate with respect to ethanol. Overall, I think the demand side is going to be the key. And certainly some of the chart points here. We've been in a trading range for months here in terms of the crude oil. If we start getting through that $76 area, it probably would be reflective of somewhat better demand scenarios starting to develop for next year.
U.S. EPA, of course, has been asking or looking, I suppose, for a way to extend its ability to increase or consider, consider is probably a better word, its ability to increase from 10% to 15% or something in between the blend rate for ethanol. Do you think they'll get it done?
It's going to be a contentious subject given some of the debate going on between usage of corn versus other products to make ethanol. I think there'll be that the possibility exists, but it's probably less than 50-50.
You mentioned the top side on crude oil, I think it's $76. What's the likelihood that that happens, and what happens if it doesn't happen?
Well, I think it's going to be contingent upon some of these other markets to a large degree, but I think there is a very strong possibility, given the kind of consolidation we've seen, that we could maybe see the range trend higher, possibly toward the 80-82 area, and some of that might be reflective of some of the allocations basically having already taken place by the end of this month in away from the energies, so that some of that pressure may ease.
Has the ethanol industry managed to make its way through the economic problems, or are there still things that might loom in the not-so-distant future that could trip it up?
Well, I think they're in a lot better shape. Certainly, there's been a lot of adjustments, and the investment climate has certainly changed. I think people are a lot more cognizant of their debt levels, which certainly makes for a somewhat stronger industry.
Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services, joins us from his office in Chicago, Illinois, on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather, actually the agricultural energy markets, the agricultural weather forecast we'll look at in just 2 minutes when Don Day joins us from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rob Meyerhofer in Morris at 815-941-3708. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Champaign police are releasing the name of an officer involved in Friday's incident on Vine Street that led to the shooting death of a 15-year-old. A spokeswoman says Daniel Norbitz, a 14-year veteran of the police department, remains on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of an investigation by several police agencies, including state police. Norbitz and Police Chief R.T. Finney were responding to a report of a burglary Friday afternoon. A scuffle ensued when the officers confronted Kiwan Carrington and another 15-year-old and Norbitz's gun discharged. Meanwhile, Carrington's family members say police have provided little information regarding the incident. Governor Pat Quinn says he's holding the legislature's feet to the fire over a shortfall in a college financial aid program, but the governor's critics say he shares the blame. The governor says he'll push the General Assembly this week to come up with the roughly $200 million needed to pay for the Monetary Award Program, or MAP, grants for next spring. More than 130,000 Illinois college students use them. Critics like U of I professor Kent Redfield say Quinn signed the budget that cut the program. He says the governor's criticism of lawmakers isn't fair. Comptroller Dan Hines is quick to criticize the governor as well. Hines faces Quinn in next year's Democratic primary and agrees with Redfield. Quinn says he signed the budget because it was overdue and the state needed a spending plan, even if it had flaws. A GOP candidate for U.S. Senate says he has another funding source for college-bound students. Suburban Chicago Congressman Mark Kirk says his 401 Kids Family Act would work like a 401k retirement plan, since contributions would accumulate interest-free. Kirk says the plan would be could be established at a child's birth, allowing anyone to contribute up to $2,000 annually. The congressman says college funding alternatives are needed in Illinois since MAP grants aren't funded for next spring, and the state's Bright Start Core Plus Fund lost more than $80 million. Illinois Racing Board has issued the state's first three licenses to companies that handle online wagering on horse races. Officials say the move could bring in more than $1.7 million in new taxes for the state. The board's unanimous vote authorizes electronic betting from computers, phones, interactive televisions, and other mobile devices. At least one company, Los Angeles-based TVG Network, says it would be operating in Illinois later today. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take up the agricultural weather forecast today. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast and what you see for the Midwest at this point.
Well, three words, cold and wet. It's going to definitely be getting colder and more unsettled as we head into the second half of this week and into the weekend. A lot of the record-breaking cold that had been moving into the Rockies and Northern Plains states is going to be shifting eastward. The first 11 days of October, the coldest in 123 years, in places like Lincoln, Nebraska, North Platte, Nebraska, 13 inches of snow over the weekend, the most ever for the whole month, came in just one storm. And a lot of that colder, unsettled weather is going to be shifting eastward. So we are going to be looking at cool conditions, pretty good chances for some shower activity, especially from tomorrow through Friday, maybe a little bit of a break developing by the weekend.
And after that, what do you see?
Well, the pattern's going to stay active. Towards the middle of next week, especially, let's say, late Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday time frame of next week, we'll see another system come out of the Plain States bringing moisture back into the area. So wet, then dry, then wet again. And with this will be temperatures that will be averaging below normal for basically everybody east of the Mississippi to the East Coast.
Anything else that we ought to be discussing on the national front, or shall we take a look at the globe?
Well, let's go take a look at the globe, and let's go down south of the equator, check out South America. The forecast is a little bit better in terms of moisture for Brazil. Still some dry areas, though, for Argentina. Shower activity definitely focusing in on the Brazil-growing regions more so than Argentina, with temperatures in South America still trending a little bit below normal.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Try for Australia.
All right. I guess that'll work. Thanks, Don.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, that wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website when you get the opportunity. The address is willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of goodies, including this program, other ag programming you can listen to anytime you'd like. And you can sign up to have it all delivered to you as a podcast. That means it comes into your computer automatically. It's at willag.org. While you're there, remember on the right-hand side of the page, there's a way to subscribe and unsubscribe to our free weekend newsletter. It's all about agricultural marketing, probably the best letter you'll get in your email this week. It's at willag.org. Have a safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. For Illinois Public Media.